Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, D&D gets TSR, gets a museum and distancing from professionals and events.
Okay.
Board game shipping prices are going crazy.
Through the roof.
Yes. Okay. And Duck Bjork.
Oh, okay.
So the first thing that we're going to try to stop the new TSR news every week because it just keeps happening. But I think they're kind of running out of steam.
You would think so.
I think they just made a mistake. I think they made a pretty crucial mistake. And I'll recommend what they should have done.
Okay.
They should have doubled down on something. And
you mean something they didn't double down on? Okay.
Yeah, they did.
Let's hear this.
They did something else instead. But first, they were able to get a zoning variance, mm-hmm. to open their museum. So they've got a parking lot now, and they're going to have a D&D related museum, which I thought they already had. Had in that building some sort of thing, but maybe now it's like illegal.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah. Okay.
But they'll have parking, and supposedly there'll be an apartment where the curator lives. And this is like a thing. You know, this is like they're going to try to legitimize it as a thing. I've heard people criticize that it's run as a nonprofit, or it's run for profit, but they're asking for donation. You know, they're also asking for donations.
So they're kind of trying to do both.
I don't know what that really means, or the actual, I have no confirmation of any of the status of it, but it's a really good idea. I don't know the people that are actually, you know, running and owning this. It's a good idea because an old school mecca would be a great thing to visit, you know. Okay. And if they do collect, if it's a responsible curator, there are actually collecting the original notes. It'd be great to see the hand typed rules and everything that came out of that early era. And to see the actual miniatures and, you know, maps that were drawn and stuff, that would be a great thing to do. And it would give people, you know, the history of that could be preserved. I think that would be a legitimate thing. Unfortunately, I don't know if that's, you know, what's going to happen. And who knows, like, once all this gets sorted out, who's even going to own TSR
anymore? I guess I'll agree with you from an archival standpoint, mm-hmm. right? Like, sure, it's kind of it's the history of role playing games. I don't really fucking care, right? Like, I cannot picture myself wanting to visit a place like that. Mm-hmm. Not because it's anything wrong with it, just because I'm not really interested. But from seeing people online talk about how, like, now that companies are moving to like digital and like Netflix or Warner Brothers, we're not making discs anymore, and like mm-hmm. things are just kind of like disappearing because no one is archiving them, especially with digital stuff. Sure, I understand. Okay, let's archive this so that it won't get lost or, you know, disappear. And we'll kind of always have this for people to look back on, because it is an important part of the hobby. As you said, if it's done well.
Right.
You know, who knows what it's going to end up looking like. Yeah, and that's not to say they're going to do it badly. If they're associated with new TSR people, then probably will be, because they can't seem to do anything right. But, yeah, I agree. It's something that should be done for posterity reasons or whatever.
Right. Yeah, so I hope they're just not going to, you know, try to make money on the trademark, or on running the trademark, and just have a bunch of travel mugs and, you know, keychains.
Well, I kind of thought that's what, like, their store, their TSR thing was, the store. I was under the impression that, like, a storefront was kind of separate from this museum thing. Mm-hmm. But who knows?
Yeah.
And hey, all museums, or most museums, have gift shops.
Yes, so exit through the gift shop. So we'll see. And Justin Lanasa is the owner of that property, but it is the original building where TSR was headquartered when they were a thing. So so we'll see how that goes. But but the new TSR just can't stop making unfriends, I guess. So there's been a series of people that have released public statements, either on social media or however, their own blogs or whatever, talking about, I don't know what this is. I'm distancing myself from it because I am still a working, you know, illustrator or whatever. I don't want my career to blow up because of affiliation to this. So Jason, and I'm totally blanking on, so the person that held TSR more recently and is doing the top secret.
Right, the top secret.
Yep. Yes. Yep. So he was just updating his kind of position and saying, we will not be licensing anything from the new company claiming the TSR logos. We are not working with them in any fashion. So they're probably going to just take TSR off of that and just say, yeah, if they own it, we're not going to have anything.
Touch it.
Yeah. So they're not going to have any financial relationship or anything. Gen Con has also spoken up and said they are not associated with TSR Games because the, you know, Lake Geneva convention. They're not associated. We do not support their recent statements. While the foundation of Gen Con is tied to the history of tabletop role playing, our goal is to build good, build off the good, acknowledge the bad, and work towards a present free from racism, misogyny, and homophobia. So yeah, they do not, and they also do not intend to let TSR into the convention.
Had they clarified that? Because I saw something on Twitter where, yeah, Gen Con posted, or the Gen Con account tweeted something along the lines of that. Mm-hmm. And then someone asked, does the new TSR have a booth in Gen Con, whatever? And Gen Con's response was, they do not, I'm going to get the wording wrong, but they do not currently have a booth. What I didn't see in that Gen Con tweet, and it's only 240 characters, right, who knows who's managing it, what I didn't see was anything saying that Gen Con is prohibiting that TSR from attending.
Right.
The way I read it was, they don't have a booth. Mm. They're not coming. Nothing along the lines of, because we are preventing them from doing so.
Yeah, they...
not saying that's what happened, but... that's how I read it.
Yeah, in this statement, it's saying Gen Con has also indicated that they do not intend to allow TSR to at the convention.
Right. Okay, then that's an update from, I guess, from what I saw.
Right, right. Okay. So they may be denying. Jeff D., a personal favorite of mine as far as classic illustrators of D&D, said he had done some work for them as a freelance artist. That's how he makes his living. His most recent work, he refunded their upfront payment and said, I'm not doing this. But he also said, this is now hurting me. Like, I'm taking a financial hit from this. So please, if anybody needs illustrations, you know, let me know. So he's returned the down payment for the next piece of art he was scheduled to do for them. And yeah, I could use some new commissions to make up for this big hit on my cash flow. Right. So he's putting his money where his mouth is. I respect that a lot. If you, you know, if you are going to take that stand and say, I don't want to be connected with them in any way, you know,
you can't also take the
but
money.
But let me finish up. That's very respectable.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's either going to be like one or the other. It's like, well, I don't agree with what they're doing. However, I'm not really in a position to stop taking work from them. So the best choice there is probably just to stay silent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or go that route and say, this hurts, but can't work with you guys anymore. So here's your money back, and we're done. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And Luke Gygax, the brother of Ernie, said, for your information, I am not involved with any TSR company, nor is Gary Con, nor anything else, my family outside of Ernie. Full stop, that is. That is all. I have reasons for distancing myself. The way TSR treats people online in their public exchanges is rude. The museum is a... so he actually brought this up. The museum is a for-profit business and was asking for donations, using names of people to promote without their knowledge, going out of the way to talk gender, woke stuff, and also basically jacking the TSR logo from Jason Elliott. Jason Elliott's full name. The bombastic press releases and claims of the old IPs, making a quick nostalgia money grab based on my father's name and not much else. So I'm making it clear, I do not like this style and I have zero to do with TSR. Right. And so I think those are kind of the big hits, ones. Yeah. And so that's very, it's interesting that this is happening and what they're actually doing. So, the response,
free advice on what TSR 3 should do.
Their response to this. I'll get to my advice in a minute. Because I'm sure everyone's so interested. So what they did is I don't know. I think their position is, okay, so let us drag out our victimhood.
Okay.
So we are the ones, you know, we are victims here. So the first claim is that this has all been orchestrated by Wizards of the Coast,
of course,
to undermine any legitimacy that we would have, you know, to this brand.
So, because they haven't been doing that themselves, right?
Right. So it must be. So let me see if I can. Of course I can't. Let me see if I can make this bigger. Just a second. I love dragging and. So I have what happened too is I think the official TSR is still running But Ernie has since deleted his Twitter, and so some of the associated Twitter accounts have disappeared.
Right.
But there is a screen grab, which I am unable to actually...
Blow up.
God damn. Oh, this is wonderful. Okay, anyhow. Yeah, so I don't have the actual quote, but basically... They were making these claims. This is all Watsy, and I'm sorry, I don't have the exact wording fine. That they said.
They probably just bend your brain into a noodle anyway.
Right. But Ernie did go on Facebook to say that I wish to state in the strongest terms that I've never meant to hurt anyone of any race, creed, or color. My video from the bunker has caused some to feel that they would not be welcome or would be looked down upon. This was never my intent. I was reacting to the focus of modern role play into a more background and role play rather than the war game that so made so many lives happy over 40 years ago. I'm not fixing any of this.
Yep.
So as a gamer, and it begins as a gamer. It meant that most of us were not worthy of any attention from others our own age. We were nerds. We were brainiacs, and others would snicker. Older classmates would ask to borrow something of ours and then pass it back and forth as a game of keep away. I used to receive some special attention from four juniors in my freshman year. I played the violin, and often I began to wish I shouldn't be reading this whole thing.
Speaking of playing the violin.
I wish that I had superpowers or perhaps became a giant. I was far too shy and then embarrassed as attractive young ladies would lower their eyes while the jocks or other socially vibrant fellows had some fun at another geeky nerd's expense. Thank goodness I grew 4 inches my junior year. Where are we going with this?
I don't know.
Anyhow, so PE class was difficult. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
This is why I'm not on Facebook anymore. 240 character limit, bro.
And so talking about, you know, his father only made $5,000, I guess, a year in the 70s as a cobbler, or the 60s, I guess. And had 5 children. We were on food stamps and even had the free school lunches. And yes, you had to go to the counselor's office every week to collect the free lunch passes. And obviously you could feel all eyes on you and the talk about. So claiming this victimhood, and I've come from humble beginnings and the brainiacs were always picked on and whatever. So this is not the move.
No, this is not the move. First of all, that was not an apology.
No, it
right?
was.
Like, and that's you thought it was saying, an apology.
Yeah, right.
An apology does not start with, I'm sorry that you interpreted my message this way.
You got hurt.
Yeah, you got hurt.
Yeah, it's not my fault.
You chose to read the... No, that's not how you do an apology, right?
Right? Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So ended it by saying, everyone's welcome at the gaming table. If you come to the Dungeon Hobby Museum... Jeff R. Leeson, the curator, I suppose, will show you courtesy and a smile, and you will see that gaming with elder gamers is a safe and entertaining environment.
Elder gamers, yeah.
Elder gamers, yeah.
Well, before we get to your advice, someone else pointed out, okay, it's fine to say, hey, everyone's welcome at the table.
Mm-hmm.
You run into that paradox of tolerance, right? Everyone's welcome at the table. We're not going to turn anyone away.
Mm-hmm.
Including these Nazis and bigots and people who don't really want to play with you. Everybody's welcome.
Right.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. I know where the intention of that message came from.
Right.
But
yeah.
if you don't turn anyone away,
mm-hmm.
what happens is eventually the nasty people end up doing that for you.
Yes.
Right? So.
Yeah. And the funny thing about this, though, is I don't think that any of the people associated with this hobby or any and of the brainiac peers of Ernie or anybody imagine themselves in the, you know, basements or library back rooms or wherever they were playing their games, that someday they would be characterized as Nazis.
No, I don't think that.
So it's very, I think it's for them, they're just, their heads are kind of spinning. Like, how did we get here? Because, you know, they just kind of like didn't keep up, you know,
right.
That's basically what this is a symptom of. And also I think when you're talking about the baby boom generation and even Gen X, telling someone they're wrong in that generation, that's all that they've ever been, is rebelling against the status quo. So, and because woke has become embraced by kind of corporate America and stuff, they're seeing it as the establishment and they're seeing it as something they want to be rebelling against still at their age. But it is an odd kind of awkward thing. So my advice would have been, if you are just doing this for a money grab and you just want the TSR brand and you want to make as much money as possible, you have to troll this hard, right?
Okay, okay. You have to double down on being a troll. Okay, let's see where this goes.
So the Dungeon Hobby Shop Museum, you need to take advantage of the open carry laws in Wisconsin. Two cosplaying LARPers with AR-15s have to be out front of the museum gatekeeping the hobby. And you have to go hard at saying, we don't do this. We don't tolerate this. I mean, make it as ridiculous and intolerant as OSR is kind of being characterized. I mean, okay. they're not doing any favors for the hobby by coming across as intolerant, because that's already how OSR is being characterized, and older gamers and things. And so just saying, older gamers, come on, the elderly gamers aren't so bad. I mean, that's not helping anything. And this kind of the sob story of how hard high school was, you know, isn't helping anybody. But, you know, if you're going to do this, you double down on how on being ridiculous and saying, okay, you want gatekeeping, we'll show you gatekeeping.
Okay, so basically they got to become like the Onion,
yeah, right,
of OSR gaming, where like
this can't be serious, you know, that kind of thing. It's like they can't actually be, this can't be their position, because I think that's the, you know, people are kind of dug into their position and to kind of say, yeah, we're just people here. This is not really, you know, this is not really a hill that anyone should be dying on.
I wonder if, well, first of all, I don't, sarcasm, which is what it has to be. Has to be so ridiculous that it's recognized as sarcasm. And parody. Otherwise, you just kind of like end up reinforcing stuff.
Yes, yes.
I mean, the flip side of that, I mean, is like even doing something ironically means you're still doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Right? That's
so you do have to be careful. Mm-hmm. I don't, based on past stuff with this new TSR, I don't think they could do that.
No, no.
Like they would not know to go far enough, and it would come off as being sincere.
Yeah,
that's
legitimate.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right. Yes.
Which
yes.
Pff, would probably be even worse,
right?
Yeah,
but so I think the whole thing is kind of odd, and so that's what I suspected very early on is, ooh, we're already on podcasts like saying things we shouldn't say. Is this going to be kind of a troll thing to really, you know, poke at the kind of newer generation, the newer gamers, and just say, you know, we're not like that, we don't tolerate that, we don't put up with your bullshit, you know? So I thought that's what this was going to go, but obviously it's not. If all of a sudden they're like, you know, we're victims here too. We're picked on.
I think this is just ineptitude. Like, I questioned that as well. Like, a recent like TSR tweet this morning, where it's like, it. I won't put it up here. You can go find it. It kind of implied something about Ernie Gygax, where it's like, well, first of all, wouldn't it be up to like Ernie to say something about this?
Yeah.
Two, what you just said is not a defense for being an asshole. Mm-hmm. So, and it's just like, how are you this bad at this? Like, this has to be a skill, because no one is this inept, right? Without planning to do it. I don't think that's the case. Mm-hmm. I think they are this bad at being a social media.
Yeah.
I think at this point, you just got to be like, just stop talking, right? Just kind of stop talking, because anything you say, you just somehow keep digging yourself deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So just, that's my advice. Just shut the fuck up, right? Just stop.
Yeah, and try to maybe, you know, through the museum or whatever, try to show some legitimacy and not be antagonistic in what you're doing, because that's not going to get you anywhere. I mean, but there was in a lot of the kind of so referring to, okay, so taking this a little bit further, and I don't want to keep doing this every week, but a hashtag did show up in one of the statements. I'm not sure if it was Ernie talking about the WotC kind of persecution, but hashtag keep gaming fantasy.
Yes.
So I think this hashtag, the way that I'm misreading this, like kind of intentionally misreading this, both sides are guilty of this.
Okay.
Because they are both gaming fantasy for their own means, you know, for their own. So I think the intent of this hashtag is keep politics out of our fantasy, because we only want fantasy and we want escapism, and you're blowing the whole thing.
Yep. That's how I read it as well.
But I really think that both sides in this debate are gaming people's entertainment for their own either kind of, you know, social cred or clout that they want to establish online. They're just using it to align themselves with the proper side.
Okay.
You know, we don't tolerate this. We like old school. We like it the old way. You know, I can see
10-foot poles and ball bearings.
Gaming fantasy. I can see that on like a red, you know, wide brim hat. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of the intent of that. So that's like, you know, they're going to dig into fantasy has always been this. And, you know, the other side is going to game that and say, well, you know, this is just showing how out of touch and, you know, racist and sexist and, you know, everything that you are. So both sides are trying to, you know, gain some ground with it. So don't keep gaming fantasy. Nobody wants this to become, I mean, this should not. Entertainment should not be these hills to be dying on and fandoms and things.
They
this is
are
so
when you build
silly.
Your personality out of the media you consume and the hobbies you. I read Keep Gaming Fantasy as fuck all the other genres.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's not the intention, but that's what my thought was, like, sci-fi? All these other ones? Yeah.
So we will stop right here as of this week. We're going to stop gaming fantasy and stop. Yeah, yeah.
Because Pinky Promise?
People are, you know, they're creating these characters in, you know, that they are online with their commentary or whatever, and taking these stands and like, you know, this is ridiculous and there shouldn't be that, you know. So, and it's not their real opinion. And that's the thing that I think, like we're talking about with you know, satire or parody or whatever, it's almost dead in kind of the American consciousness and possibly Canadian and British and whatever too, because no one is pragmatic anymore. No one sees the common humanity and just says, yeah, this is just a kind of a thing. This is kind of a shtick we're doing, kind of a gag. It's not, I mean, we have these beliefs, but we're not willing to ruin your life for them. And I don't know if Americans actually, some Americans are so we earlier spoke of a certain, of a certain anniversary that is now being celebrated.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So 100 years of Chinese communism. And the one thing that I can respect about the Chinese that the Americans don't get is the Chinese know the situation. They know the reality.
They're talking like average Chinese citizen.
Yes, average Chinese citizen, not a member of the Communist Party.
Okay.
They know they have to double talk. They have to two-face and live in these two existences where they have their real opinion. They know what's really going on. They know how they're being stolen from, taken advantage of, and some people are living very high off of their labors.
You just described the USA too.
But they know that, but they still have to speak, we love the country, we love the state, we love the party. Americans are getting – so it's a lie. They're pretending to believe the lie, but they know it's not true. Yeah. Americans are giving these two lies, these two sides, and they pick one. And they dig in and believe the lie. And there's no like common humanity and pragmatism in between there where they just say, it is all bullshit. This is all kind of bullshit. We know that we can, you know, sit at a you know, dinner table together. We can have a beer together and we can talk about something that isn't going to divide us. Right. But I mean, Americans are becoming less and less capable of doing that. And it's funny because, you know, the Chinese are very capable.
I wonder if this is I agree with that assessment. I'm not really sure about the cause. I wonder if the cause is kind of linked to what I just said about too closely tying your identity to media or hobbies you consume, where instead of it being an activity or just something you enjoy, it's part of your identity. And I've talked before about that leads to people criticizing this thing, you interpreting it as people are criticizing you.
Right, right.
I also think it's kind of like, well, I'm not going to, don't have enough political vocabulary, but there's got to be some kind of orchestration at, you know, like the top about like, let's keep feeding these people these lies to divide them because they see this happening,
right?
Kind of getting a bit off topic. But this reminded me a lot of the Orson Scott Card. Talk about a political thing. Anyway, read all his Ender Game series before figuring out what a bigot he was. Anyway, I think it's either like Speaker for the Dead or one of the later books. The brother and sister of Ender end up becoming political figures by staging essentially these debates in what's kind of like the future internet, right? And they do exactly what you just described. They kind of, they're brother and sister, they know what they are doing, they kind of put on these personas. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how, I think his name is Peter, the older brother who was such a bastard, ends up becoming like the, I forget what term they use, basically like the ruler of Earth because of these debates. And at the time I read it in like the early 90s, I'm like, no way this could fucking happen. And now I'm like, holy shit, like this is exactly what happens, right? People put on such a persona online that you can kind of like stir up this stuff and being a essentially a caricature online can have real repercussions.
Right.
I phrase that very poorly. And it's also not gaming related, but that's what I've been thinking about the whole time.
And people, people's careers being kind of tied to that certain identity and, you know, realizing, well, I've got to be this if I'm going to. And so, and then just starting to kind of believe the lie, believe whatever you've pretended to be to get that job.
I guess maybe kind of like a somewhat mild example is Stephen Colbert. With the Colbert Report, which kind of started as the answer to The Daily Show, and where he's pretending to be this ridiculous conservative, where that, I guess, went far enough in terms of satire.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of, I would hope, where you kind of figure out, oh, this is a joke, right?
And it was in times when people could still kind of understand it,
But I wonder, I guess getting back to kind of the main point, and then maybe back to gaming, I wonder if what I feel is like an increase of shows or media like that have essentially kind of deadened a lot of people's ability to recognize satire, right? Kind of like you keep like basically like the boiling frog, right?
Yeah, right.
The water just keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter until you don't realize you're fucking boiled. Yeah.
No, that could be it, because it is funny that, you know, all that stuff that kind of was spawned by The Daily Show, like it's all lost its sense of humor. And now it's just, you know, rants and you tell them. You know, it's like the studio audience. It's like these weird rallies. It's not a comedy show anymore. Yeah. You know, all the kind of spinoffs. Wow. So it's an odd thing. But so we'll see. And we're going to kind of just stop talking about this.
Because I think we got it all out today, didn't we?
Because I don't think it's going to get any more interesting. And it's just going to get sad. And they need to just kind of say, we support the hobby. We're not in this to milk this IP that we're trying to claim some legitimacy because of the family connection. So, hopefully that's over with. But I did compliment the Chinese people, and now I'm about to say something terrible about Chinese businessmen.
Okay.
But
I want to see how this is connected to gaming.
We've noticed that the shipping prices are up 300-400%, based on
much.
But based on cargo shipping. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is so board game companies are facing a rise of freight. This is all freight shipping. Cost of up to 300-400%, and some publishers just can't afford this.
Right.
So they can't even pass enough of that onto their customers to make this even work. So it was bad in 2020, but it's even worse in 2021. Like kind of it's kind of like cascading into.
I read something about it being kind of troublesome for companies to get shipping containers.
Yes.
As well, there being like a shortage of shipping containers, like freight shipping containers as well.
Right, because things are going, kind of Europe and the West hunger for the cheap Asian-made goods has not subsided, but Asia is not buying anything from, and because of also the depressed, production in Western countries, everything is going one way. So basically there's just backup. So we don't even have a Suez Canal problem anymore. We have like ports that just have ships that are docked for several days waiting to even unload. They can't unload things fast enough. And then the ships have nothing, there's to nothing back, to return with. And so, containers are at they're running out of containers to go the correct way. So basically they have to just ship empty containers.
Right.
And they're also talking about, the need to like literally build more ships to support this kind of demand. Because, everybody in the West just went on Amazon and started buying cheaply made junk, just to soothe their loneliness, whatever. But, so publishers and retailers are going on to Facebook and talking about things. So Jamie Stegmaier from Stonemaier Games, that does Scythe and Wingspan and all that good stuff.
Scythe was an impressively good game.
And the incredibly unsexual Wingspan, because Elizabeth Hargrave was the one that went after the cover of the board game.
Right.
Those are not sexy birds in any way. So
it's completely legitimate. It's a
completely legitimate game. Completely legitimate. So they've talked about and also then data from the ARK Global reporting has said that there's the delays and price increases are making things look very bad. So some shipping times are lagging 2 to 6 weeks behind normal, costing 3 to 4 times as much. And so these costs are up about ninefold in total since the pandemic. Yeah. So many publishers are being forced to increase game prices, cutting costs, and because also manufacturing costs. So not only transportation and shipping, but manufacturing costs are going up for a lot of things. The article, it talks about all of these difficulties and everything. And then it has a possible solution to this.
Okay.
There may be a way to to deal with the problem that we're having. Stop manufacturing your games in China. Like, okay. You know, like there is domestic production for all of this. It is more expensive.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely cheaper to have it produced in China and shipped. But that now those numbers are not, they're not so drastically right. different. You don't want to support people domestically in your own, you know, like family owned public, you know, like printing houses and things. You don't want to support that. You would rather, who knows what you're supporting in this, you know, globalist nightmare of, you know, shipping things across the world in these, you know, giant floating fortresses of metal boxes. But that just was very humorous to me. It's like, yeah, a possible solution to this may be to stop producing everything in China. Wow, really? That, yeah, it's staggering. But I thought that was going to be a symptom of the pandemic is right. that people are going to realize, yeah, we have to focus on domestic. We can't be so tied to these, you know, shipping costs and things that even though it makes things very affordable, it, you know, it has a lot of weakness.
Well, I wonder if kind of like we discussed before in terms of like raising the prices of TTRPG games where somebody mm-hmm. is going to have to go first.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
And whoever goes first is probably not going to be very successful because people are going to look and go, why?
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm looking at that the same way, right? Like, yeah, okay, solution. Let's start producing stuff domestically. Somebody's going to have to start doing that first. Right. Whoever it is probably going to take a hit on sales and not be very successful. Mm-hmm. So I can, like, if the numbers are still higher to produce here, domestically than overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Who's going to want to do it? But someone is going to have to start.
Right, right. Well, that was the comfort that I took in the, you know, ridiculous price increases for Games Workshop products is manufactured in the UK. Mm-hmm. You know, always the books and everything printed in the UK. That started to not be the case. Right. So they started to produce a lot of like the plastic terrain and things first started happening in China. And now books and things are all being Chinese produced. And we found out, I think, in a couple of cases that even though they're saying produced in the UK, that just kind of means put in the box at the same time in the UK. So a lot of cards and components, tiles and cards and things for board games actually, we're starting to violate the post-Brexit kind of, you know, you have to, it has to be domestically produced right. by this amount or we're going to tax the hell out of it. So, so that was the thing. I mean, there were companies doing that and you were paying severe, you know, right. price, very brutal prices to make that possible. But at the same time, if there is a, you know, a noticeable bump in quality and you feel less like, you know, you feel more like you're supporting something directly, right. a small ecosystem that directly is producing things that you like. I mean, I don't know. It needs to go that way, but I don't think clothing or anything that's just caught up in this whole manufacturing right. nightmare is ever going to be sorted out. People are just too addicted to like a wear once t-shirt or whatever, whatever we're doing. So we want our cheap, we want our sub $40 RPG books. And that's all we're going to
getting into economics because that's what this video cast is about, right?
Right.
Can you kind of blame people when like wages have not gone the same price as price? You just be like, I want to do it. Can't afford it when this is what I make and this is what I have to pay.
Right.
Right. So, and that goes probably even more so for what's the word that fell out of my head? A luxury item right. like board games and TTRPGs and other stuff like that. You're like, don't actually need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't justify spending this amount on it, even if I would feel better because it's domestically produced.
Mm-hmm.
If I think when it comes down to, unfortunately, I think a lot of people are going to go international rather than nothing at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, because it is all, you know, it's hobby budget, it's disposable income. And so you're just going to have to let one choice eat up more of that money and, so be participating less in your hobby. Yeah. So that's, that's too bad. And I really hope that, and this may just be a temporary thing.
There
may be a global economic recovery to this and no one will have learned any lessons and we'll have another pandemic in another decade or so. But anyhow, let's turn to nicer, not produced in China things. There is a new, a new setting for Morkbjörg.
Ooh, yes.
And it is based on kind of the Carl Barks characters of like DuckTales or whatever. So it is called Duckbjörg.
Yep.
Duckbjörg. And it's currently on, you can get a digital copy of it on itch.io. And the maker, let me do better than this. So it's, you know, kind of inspired by the Saturday morning cartoons kind of the late 80s. Were you much of a DuckTales fan?
Yeah, I was, yeah. I'd probably sing the opening song, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I won't, but yeah.
Nice. So DuckBjorg enshrines that truth is in the dark gonzo world where plucky animated fowl lurk in a blasted world on a knife's edge of total collapse. Okay. So I like the combination of like
the plucky dark, cartoon duck. Yeah.
Dark metal and ducks. Yeah. So it builds its framework on Stockholm Cartel's Morkbjörg, and but with just that flavor. So locations, character classes, and other options, adversary and treasure. So it seems like it started out as a joke, but the designers are kind of meaning it as a love letter to DuckTales and the.
Wouldn't it be funny if? Oh wait, this actually works. Let's keep going, kind of thing. Yeah, I've done that before. Yeah.
So it takes the beauty and brutality of Morkbjörg and uses it to emphasize that we all love DuckTales. But so it's now available on itch.io, and it doesn't have to be produced in China. So Gem Room Games is who's producing it, and it's on their page. Oh, sorry, it will be available on their page starting June 29th was its release.
It's July now, yeah.
Yes, it is. Oh my god. So so $12 will get you your DuckTales dark metal mashup game. Yes. So they initially were going to release it as three separate supplements, each introducing materials gradually, but then they're just going to do the full game is now already out on the 29th. So we'll put a link to that in the description. Cool. So you can enjoy a little dark metal duck metal.
I'll be disappointed if a character class like doesn't spit gold coins, because like we were talking about before.
Right
Breathe money like it's air.
yeah that's great.
Cool.
All right, so so a little bit of happiness, a little bit of
at
light,
the end there,
celebrate a little what's good about gaming instead of what's terrible
about the rest of the world.
Right. So we'll see. So we promise no more TSR updates. They'll just do what they're going to do, and hopefully they'll realize that if they're going to if they're actually supporting this hobby and worried about its legacy, they can't do that. But so where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always, that's Hivemind, HYVEMYND, where I finally released the playtest packet of Card Hammer.
Oh, nice.
Print and play stuff. And there's already a typo in it.
Oh, excellent.
So maybe don't download it just yet. Yeah, I got to go fix that tonight.
It's fun when you find those.
Yeah, just like, I don't know, I'll see that. Cool. Nice. So how about you?
So I do a single panel gag cartoon that I draw on a live stream every week. So that would be Monday nights in North America and kind of lunchtime in Japan on Tuesdays. That's Abuse Cartoons. So both available on YouTube and Twitch as a stream, and then the archives of that. AbuseCartoons.com is the website, and on Twitter, Abuse Cartoons. And if you want to read the archive of the cartoon and find out if you enjoy it and want to see it created, go to gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And if you'd like to support the weekly, become a weakling, one of the strongest patrons available, please visit patreon.com/upturntable. So upturntable.com is where you can find the video and links to the audio of this podcast, which will sound much better this week when I do noise reduction. And so everything that we do is available there, including lore videos, actual plays, reviews of games, and everything. So take a look at Upturntable, and we'll be doing this again next week.
Yeah. Later, mortals.
Goodbye.